And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
Allow me to take just a moment to express our sincere appreciation to all of our listeners. We appreciate you and your desire to study from God's holy word. And we hope that you will do so with an honest and sincere heart. We have never at any point and never will ask you, our listeners, to send us any funds. We are interested in your soul, not your money. We only ask you to listen with an open heart and with an open Bible, to honestly consider the things that we have to say, that those things are based solely on God's Word. Let me make a promise to you. If at any point in time I say something on this program that cannot be supported by the Holy Bible, then you contact me and I will immediately recant that statement if I engage in any practice in the name of religion that cannot be supported by the Scriptures. Then you point that out to me, show me book, chapter, and verse, and I will immediately give up that practice. You see, we cannot engage in practices in religion that does not have Bible authority. God simply will not accept it. Now, how about you? Are you honest enough with yourself and with God's Word that you will make the same promise? That if you teach or practice anything that cannot be found in the pages of the Holy Bible, will you give it up? Will you not do and say only those things which can be found in the Bible? The subject which I have chosen to speak to you about is a subject that I know has a certain degree of controversy. I am not saying these things to be disrespectful to any person who may disagree with me. You have the right to disagree or agree with anything any person says. However, we all must agree with what God says, and He speaks to us today only through His Word. We do not have the right to choose whether we will agree or disagree with God and be right with God at the same time. I hope that you will honestly and sincerely consider it in light of what the Bible has to say. Our subject is concerning the church that is found in the New Testament. Let us put it in the form of this question. What church ought a person to join? Now, as we present these thoughts, please hear me all the way through. I believe that every person who is not an atheist or infidel expects, before he dies and goes to heaven, to become a member of some organization known as a church. I can hardly think of a person who claims to believe in the Bible not to give such a question serious consideration. Why is it that such a small percentage of the human family are not members of a church? Although I may not have the full answer, I believe one such reason is that many simply have not decided just what church a man ought to affiliate with and with which one he ought to be united. In this country of ours today, there are well over 1,200, and I believe that to be a conservative number, well over 1,200 different organizations, all claiming to be churches, seeking those in the world to become members. Therefore, we have a wonderful opportunity, if indeed you can call it such, in picking from this great number which one we ought to join. But countless numbers of people who are neither biased nor prejudiced can hardly decide just which one is the best to select. For instance, this person goes to this organization because he can find plenty of good and caring people with many good programs and teach some things that are in the Bible. However, they will find some things they cannot endorse or things that they find objectionable or unfavorable. I think it would take a wiser than Solomon to discern between the multitudes of organizations and to determine which one he ought to join. Now, would you think it strange of me if I were to suggest to you this morning that a person ought to join all the churches within his reach? Now, just think on that for a moment. Where did man get the idea that he ought to join just one church? Now, you know, if you're honest, that that is the way it is. Yet there are numerous clubs and social organizations which not one given individual would hesitate to join as many as met his or her needs and to make them a better person. If a particular person saw in this particular club things that attracted them and then over here in this social organization saw something else that interested them, they would not hesitate to join both, to join as many as met their needs and interests. Well, why not do the same with churches? You see, here is a fine religious organization with many fine people and good programs, and then over here is another equally fine religious organization which too has many fine people and programs. Why not join both? If by joining one or the other religious organization, if that will benefit me and make me a better person, then would not joining both make me even better? But where do we draw the line? Dear friends, if I were in the joining business, understand, if I were in the joining business, I would go out and join 8, 10, a dozen, maybe 20 or more of the religious institutions of this fine land. I think that I could be justified and maintain all consistency in doing such. I would not hesitate in joining different insurance companies and taking out various policies from this one and from that one. You see, this is the way we do about everything else on earth except the church. And so I suggest to you that if you're going to join any church at all, I think honestly that I would throw open the gate and I would join as many as I could on the grounds that there are good people in all of them and that you can get from one what you perhaps cannot get from another. But did you notice that my suggestion was prefaced with a conditional clause? If I were in the joining business. Please understand what I'm about to say. I never have, nor expect, as long as God lets me live on this earth, to advise any person to join any church. Now, at this point, you may be a bit confused. You may think that what I've said thus far is remarkably strange. Please bear with me. Please hear me out. Dear friends and listeners, let me say to you that I have never, let me repeat, I have never joined any single solitary church in all of my life. Now, you're probably thinking at this point, if I'd have known this, I would not have bothered listening this morning. Do you think that I mean to say by that I do not claim to be a member of a church? If so, my friends, then you are incorrect in that presumption. Let me make this statement just as clearly as I know how. Do you know that neither God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, nor any other inspired man ever asked, commanded, or even suggested that any person ever join a church? You might be thinking right now, now that's a radical statement. Yes, it is. But the question is it so? Is it true? Do you know of one single passage in God's holy book, the Bible, from cover to cover, to which you can turn and find the statement, join the church? Where is it? It cannot be found in the Old Testament. It cannot be found in the four Gospels. It cannot be found in the book of Acts. It cannot be found in the 21 epistles. It can't even be found in the book of Revelation. Dear friends, the fact is, it's not there. Not one single time in the Bible can you find the statement, join the church. Dear friends, there are two distinct statements which I have heard all of my life. Number one is that a person ought to get religion, or a person has gotten religion. Number two is that a person ought to join some church. First, religion is not something that you get. It's something that you are, something that you do. And second, and you know it's true, men beg, encourage, and solicit you to join a church. Join the church of your choice. And as stated earlier, there's no passage in the Bible that even teaches a person to join a church. Please, do not take my word for it. I encourage you to search and to investigate the Scriptures for yourself. To be plain and to be frank, it is none of man's business to be joining any religious organization. That is to say, the Word of God does not authorize, command, or demand such an act on our part. Let us pause just a moment and establish what is the church. Perhaps much of the confusion has come because we do not fully understand what the church is. Dear friends, the church is not some building made of wood and brick made with men's hands. It's not a physical structure. It is true that the church is a building. However, it is not one that is made of material or physical things. The church is a spiritual building composed of men and women who have been born again, that have passed from darkness to the light of His dear Son. In our country, there are numerous ornate and costly structures that bear the name church. But let us get it out of our minds that the building is the church. It is simply a place of convenience for the church to meet. In fact, in the New Testament, a person cannot even read about a church building or meeting house anywhere in the pages of the New Testament. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, he said in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The church we read about in the New Testament is not a physical building made with wood and brick and mortar. So then, what is the church? Dear friends, let me suggest to you that the church of the New Testament is that spiritual realm or body over which Jesus the Christ reigns as head. Hence, Paul wrote, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Let me state again that the church of the New Testament is that spiritual realm or body over which Jesus the Christ reigns as head. The head of the church is not some man here on earth. There is no convention or headquarters. Jesus Christ is her only head. Paul also wrote in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It is that spiritual body of Jesus the Christ. Dear friends, we're talking about a spiritual body, not Jesus' physical body. It is that spiritual body that is made up of those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus the Christ. Let me suggest to you, for your consideration and study, that the term church, as used in the New Testament, is used in different senses. Number one, it is used to describe the church in its universal sense, such as in Matthew 16 and verse 18, when Jesus announced, I will build my church. Number two, it's used in a regional sense, referring to several congregations, such as in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2, when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, or Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, when Paul said, the churches of Christ salute you. The Bible does not speak of these churches as though they are different in theory or practice or of manner of worship or teaching, but rather simply in differences in geography or location. The term church is also used in a local sense, referring to a single congregation of believers, such as in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, when Paul wrote to the church of God which is at Corinth. Dear friends, note that when Paul used the terms church of God, he was not speaking of a different religious organization or group, but he was simply using a different title to refer to the church that belongs to Christ, because Christ is God. He is deity. Now, with these thoughts in our minds, let me ask you, is the church that is found in the New Testament, is it a denomination? Let me ask you to consider this question very honestly, not based on any preconceived notions or ideas. Let me repeat it. Is the church about which you read in the New Testament, the church for which Christ gave His blood, the church of which Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, is it a denomination? If so, which one? Of the more than 1,200 that are in existence today, which one is Christ speaking of? Dear friends, if you are honest, you will acknowledge that for 15 centuries after the death of Christ on that cross, there was nothing known as a denomination. A denomination is something of our latter times, as Paul spoke of in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. If you want to study and to learn of the numerous denominations, you cannot go to the Bible to do so. You can read it from cover to cover, and not one single time can you find a denomination mentioned. Dear friends, I kindly challenge anyone to show me one mention of one denomination in the pages of the Holy Bible. What is a denomination? Notice, it is a religious organization, larger than any congregation on earth, and yet smaller than all Christian people on earth. Let me repeat that. It is a religious organization, larger than any local congregation on earth, and yet smaller than all Christian people on earth. Therefore, it comes in between, separate and distinct from, the Church of the Bible, at both ends of the line. How is the term church used? It is either a local congregation or it embraces all Christians. Now, a denomination stands between these, and therefore, it is a thing unheard of and unknown in the Bible. Friends and listeners, I say that cautiously, respectfully, but yet firmly. Now, another question for you to honestly consider. Can a person become a member of the Church of the New Testament and not be a member of any denomination? The answer is an astounding yes. For Jesus Christ certainly did not establish a multitude of religious organizations, all of which bear different names and teach different things. Such is confusion, and God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. Dear friends, don't you want to be a member of the church about which you read in the pages of the New Testament? And not a denomination which has its origin with men other than Jesus Christ, and was founded in locations other than where God designated, and in a time other than when God said it was to begin? Dear friends, notice this example, the Corinthians. No person had ever been to Corinth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ except the Apostle Paul. By the proclamation of the gospel and the people's acceptance of it, in all of its simplicity, the church was established in the city of Corinth. Later, Paul saw the need to write back to them and to address them concerning some problems. He addressed them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 as the church of God, the church belonging to God, or Christ, as we mentioned earlier. You know, He is God. He is the one who purchased it with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. Now, the church at Corinth, was it a denomination? Absolutely not. If it was, which denomination was it? We read nothing about denominations in the Bible. You see, in chapter 12, in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians, he said to them, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul said, "The body is the church." The church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Friends, if you're going around in our community today talking about my church, then one thing is for sure. It's not the one found in the New Testament. Because the church of the New Testament belongs to Jesus Christ. It is His church. And I'm simply a member of Christ's church. How do you become a member of His church? You cannot join it. As we stated earlier, as we have set out, there is not one single passage in the New Testament that teaches that we can join Christ's church. Dear friends, the church of the New Testament is God's family. Paul said so in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And just like our physical families, we do not join them. How do we become a member of our family? We're born into it. Dear friends, it is similar to the adoption process. The Bible says that we are adopted into God's family. We are adopted heirs. A child that is being adopted does not join a family. They are adopted. The adopting parent chooses them. They add them by the adoption process to their families. Now, how are we adopted or how are we born into the family of God? Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 3 and verse 5, He said to Nicodemus that we are born into the family. We are born of the water and of the Spirit, which is equivalent to baptism. You see in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, Paul said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith, by the gospel system of faith in Christ Jesus." He explains further in verse 27. Notice, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We are told there how we get into God's family. We are baptized into His body, into the church. We are baptized or born again. We become a new creature. Dear friends, if you want to be in God's family, to be in the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the church which you can read about in the New Testament, then you must obey those commandments that Christ has given in the New Testament. Then, you're not voted in. Then, the Lord Himself will add you to His church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Dear friends, don't you want to be a part of that great family? A person can go around saying that they are God's child, that they are a child of God. But I can claim to be a child of the president. But that does not make it so unless I have done those things to be either born into that family or adopted into it. If you want to be in God's family, we pray that you will seek out those commands, to obey those commands, and to be added by your obedience to His church.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.